Stryker & Spear Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Dave is with us Tuesdays, and I don't know, Dave, I feel obligated to ask you your thoughts on this OU Texas story.
Yeah, Bill, I know you have a lot of SEC guests on, but by the time this news came out last week, I don't know if you had talked to most of them, because it came out Wednesday, so I know Griff and I were with you on Tuesday, so we didn't get you last week on the talk, but... I'll come at it from a Gator angle for one thing, and then I'll some thoughts for Florida. You know, and this was for most of the SEC, of course, at least for the upper half of the SEC in terms of teams you think to compete. Definitely more competition for a team like Florida who can recruit on the same level as you, if not better, and who can win games, potentially win games, and give you a tougher schedule, like Texas and Oklahoma. While I know Texas hasn't been the Texas we know for well over a decade now, you know, it's still a school with a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of potential that can make recruiting a little bit more difficult and your schedule more difficult when you have to play them. And Oklahoma, of course, as well. I mean, Florida just played them in the bowl game, and, you know, it's circumstances there where that game wasn't as close as it should have been. But another, you know, overall, another program that can recruit and give your schedule pretty difficult when you have to play them. So, of course, it raises the profile of the conference, Bill, and it will bring in bukus of money when these two teams in the SEC agree on some kind of new deal for TV contracts and the like. I don't know where I'm at. I mean, college football is changing, whether we want it to or not. Expanded playoffs. Now talk of expanded conferences again. This game isn't going to be anywhere... anything we've seen in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the regionalism is getting taken away. That's one aspect I don't like of it. The Southeastern Conference is still somewhat based in the Southeast, even with adding Texas and Oklahoma, but you're spreading out to the to the Midwest. But you're just gonna miss that personality, that camaraderie, that closeness you feel. With some of the other teams, you know, when people make fun of SEC fans for chanting SEC after games, it's more to do with, you know, how tough it is. You know how these 12, 13, 14 teams, how tough it is to go through that schedule year in and year out. And I just think it's probably going to start losing its luster once you start talking of 16 teams and maybe even 20 teams down the road. All these conferences are going to start losing their uniqueness away, and everything's just kind of going to start looking the same, and probably build one just kind of one more step closer and it looking like a professional model, and you start throwing out 20 team conferences and maybe 64 overall when this thing's all said and done. And at that point you're basically two NFLs, and we'll see what for the SEC, Bill, it's built on history, built on tradition, built on rivalries. These big rivalry games, what happens with those games? That's probably my big question there. When you add these two teams, I think the SEC would do everything they can to keep your big Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn. We'll see what happens with Florida, LSU, but maybe a good thing that comes out of this. Florida plays Auburn more, a traditional rivalry. But you know, we'll have to keep an eye on what the SEC does and how it affects. It's kind of what we have grown up on and watching these rivalry games all throughout our lives.
Gator Dave with us, and we'll let you know how you can get Gator's Breakdown, his podcast. Did anything else come out of the SEC meetings? And I guess this is a two-parter. When you were there, and you were there through Florida's day, was there any talk before the Wednesday leak about this OU Texas story at all in the lobby?
Nah.
Or
no, Bill, this thing come out of nowhere. I don't think anybody knew, honestly. And, you know, there's definitely no coincidence it happening when Texas A&M was there. And their AD, you know, ADs very rarely go to these SEC media days. And, of course, Ross Bjork is there for Texas A&M. Of course, the Houston Chronicle is the one that breaks the story. So, to me, it's definitely no coincidence that it waited. I mean, the surprise is, Bill, you know, this thing has been going on for a while. You know, initially when I heard it, I thought, okay, these talks probably started somewhere around when the talk of the college football playoff expansion was around. But, no, this has been going on for, you know, according to reports out there, for about 6 months or so. And, Bill, I can't think of the reason I think this happened, the reason I think this probably got more legs and a lot faster than more people probably think it did was the mishandling last year of all these other conferences besides the SEC. In the Big 12 at some point, too, I'll give them some credit here. But I think the mishandling of last year and dealing with COVID and do we have a season, do we not have a season, do we delay a season, I think the SEC and Greg Sankey really stepped up, showed a whole lot of moxie, if that's the right word to use here, and I think that caught a lot of people's eyes. I think there's a lot of confidence in how he runs his conference, and I think with all the questions that surrounded college football last year dealing with COVID, I think it showed the true colors of a lot of other commissioners out there, and I think it caught the eyes of two big schools in Oklahoma and Texas, and I think really sped this up. I mean, it's probably going to go by even faster. I don't even know if we'll get to the grant of rights expiration in 2025 before Texas and OU are in the SEC. But no, Bill, I know the talk started months ago, but there was no inclination. There was no whispers. There was nothing going on in SEC media days. By the time I left Tuesday around midday to get that news on Wednesday.
This isn't really a question about OU in Texas, because we know this move that's being made is about money. But in overall expansion history, and let's say since the SEC went Arkansas, South Carolina in 92, so about 30 years ago till now, is there one school that on the field of play, because of expansion, meaning they relocated, has just exploded as a program? Can't think of one.
No. I mean, Texas A&M is better. I wouldn't say exploded.
Hadn't happened yet, though. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I think it's definitely made them better. It was definitely the right move, and now we'll see if their momentum is slowed when Texas joined the conference. I know that was one reason of them joining, was to get away and build their own brand, and that's what they've done, and it's helped them. But, yeah, we're still waiting on the explosion there. No, Bill, I mean, you know, West Virginia in the Big 12, no. You know, Rutgers, Maryland in the Big 10, no.
Arkansas is worse than they used to be.
Yeah, South Carolina, you know, besides their run under Spurrier, I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, there's nothing consistent there on the big level. I'd say probably the best move so far, Bill, just because they've been in their I think upper half of the conference. They've been in the championship game. I mean, Utah for the Pac-12 is good, but that's still not a, you know, explosion of what we're looking for and necessarily building your brand enough to go compete for national championships. after making that move. We've known these moves are always about money, as you said, and not necessarily bringing good teams. It's about markets. It's not necessarily Oklahoma, Texas is probably the first big move, I think, where these perennial national championship contenders are moving to a major conference and, you know, really raise the profile as far as on the field play and expansion goes.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
You can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown, YouTube as well, and all the podcast platforms out there. A lot of episodes out there kind of late last week, Bill, discussing Florida being picked second in the SEC East behind Georgia, so no surprise there. And then just kind of talking about some with that. We'll extend that conversation this week. We're talking about some expectations for Florida. It's kind of a rebuilding year, but can expectations still be high? Will kind of be the topic this week, Bill.
See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it. Yeah, a couple of questions that just pop up this morning. Matt Hayes said that the expectation is OU and Texas are in the SEC in 2022. Now, that, again, the word expectation doesn't mean it's 100% going to happen that way, but they are leaving, and they are joining the SEC. We just don't know the exact year. The awkwardness of hanging around all these other years, if they did, would be rather unusual. And then the other question I just brought up, and again, don't bring up the money. We already know this is about the money. Expansion is about better relationships with the money. That's all this is, football and better relationship with the money. So don't bring up the money. I'm just asking you, on the field of play, name me a team that has expanded or joined another league in the last 30 years, from 1992 SEC on. And on the field of play, it has been a huge, huge advantage for them. I'm talking about a team that left a league. Don't say Alabama's winning a lot now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. A team that left a league for another league, and on the field of play, football now, all the other stuff don't matter, y'all. Again, that's rude, but it's true. All the other stuff doesn't matter. They are second class in this conversation. They just follow orders. This is football, and this is the money. Hand in hand. On the field of play, who has seen some incredible boost because they left a league for another league? And those are the two elements. One's the money, and then number two is how much you're winning, right? West Virginia? No. South Carolina, no. Arkansas is not what they were. Arkansas's history is way better than their present before they got in the SEC. Utah, I mean, meh. Who else? Nebraska? Nebraska's done nothing in football since joining the Big Ten. We'll take the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They're wrapping up this earlier crash out here on 24 eastbound at Briley Parkway. Some of this fog starting to burn off now. Here comes that traffic out of Mount Juliet right now down through Wilson County on I-40 headed towards Nashville. 3800 block of Dickerson Pike. That crash is being cleared. Still moving right now I-40 eastbound up through Kingston Springs as all that traffic builds through Dixon right now headed towards West Nashville. Princess Hot Chicken is hiring at both locations. You can apply online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Bokhara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Bokhara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Bokhara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Bokhara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Bokhara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown. If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Ran out of time last hour for Kip up in D.C., but he's dialed us back, and I appreciate that. We got plenty of time right here to stretch out. What's up, Kip?
Hey, what's up, Bill? You ready for a little NBA talk?
Yeah.
No, so it's going to be kind of related, but so I have a question, and I wanted to see if, you know, what your thoughts were on this. I got a little theory here. Kansas, big-time blue blood basketball. I guess when you talk about TV markets, I guess you say, what, Kansas City or whatever, not really that big, but, you know, Kansas is a national brand, and eyeballs tune in when they play basketball. With name, image, and likeness, I know the sport of basketball, college basketball, has kind of hit rock bottom as far as, you know, ratings or interest and things of that nature. But with name, image, and likeness, I think that there is a possibility in the next coming years you may see that NBA age limit increase. Now that, you know, there's not the backlash that you would have received before NIL. If that happens, and of course you get, you know, these Johnny Five Stars going to school for at least 2 years, they're getting compensated in some type of way. And I always said, well, NIL was forfeit. It was going to benefit your upper echelon basketball players more than football. If that happens, could we see maybe not a rebirth of college basketball to the levels it once was, but a rebirth to the point where it is a relevant topic when it comes to revenue. What do you think about that?
It's a very good question. Basketball, here's my worry. College basketball, Kip, is so far out of sight, out of mind, getting destroyed by football, that even if name, image, likeness keeps some of the better players from turning pro because of the money now, could that salvage? It's so lost, I don't know if it's retrievable. That might, but I don't think it's a given. Because basketball fading on us is not a new topic, as you know. It's an old topic. Basketball has been fading for decades on us. College basketball, as a popular entity, getting destroyed by college football, in essence. Getting overlapped by it, turning into a basically, not even a whole month, but a March sport is basically what it is now. It's a good question. Yeah, could the superstar basketball kid who would be in the NBA, if he starts staying because of the money, the legal NIL money, could that rebound, metaphorically speaking, college basketball? It's a very good question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and especially the thing is, if the NBA raises that age limit where you basically got to stay, take a program like Kansas, then there is some cachet there. Maybe a little bit of forward thinking if you're, you know, if some, I'm not saying Kevin Warren is the savviest, but I don't know if they reached out to Kansas with some forward thinking saying, okay, this thing's going to turn around. We got some insight that, you know, basketball is going to come back a little bit, and with a brand like Kansas, that helps out a bit. You know, just a little food for thought there. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Very good question, sir.
All right, I'll call you guys back later. You guys continue to have a good one. Good show.
Thank you, Kip. Appreciate you checking in, Kip, up in D.C. It's really, that's a very thought-provoking item. On Twitter, there is so much I need to catch up here on Twitter. Brandon, checking in from down in Vero Beach, Florida. Bill, wasn't the talk about Penn State when they joined the Big Ten that they would run the Big Ten. They would take over the Big Ten. They joined the Big Ten, when was it? From independence in, was that 93, 94? And Joe had some really good teams right there initially. I mean, some hella teams, right? National championship type teams. But did they end up moving in there and then taking over? And the answer is no. Now, they've had, again, through the years, a lot of good ball clubs. But did they change the course of anything by joining? They made the league better. No question. They made the league even better. But did they go in there and take over? And the answer is no. Yeah, the answer is no. It's almost like, and again, this is not a Texas OU conversation at the moment when I mention this, but it's almost like these teams that leave leagues, it never helps them on the football field. It helps the bank account, which is vitally important. We understand that part. But on the field of play, name me a team that in the last 30 years left a league for another league, and on the field, it has just exploded their product. It's almost like the more money, which is the attraction, right, doesn't lead to more better, horrible sentence here, more better football. Now, again, A&M joined in, what was their first year, 12? And A&M under Jimbo, I mean, they're rising. Now, Jimbo has only been there a few years. He wasn't there from the beginning of all this. But we'll see what transpires. A&M is trending in football. They are. They're trending. Will that continue? I mean, they're recruiting, and the way they're going right now, it looks like it is. But we got to play games. We games are the only way to determine whether or not it's happening or not. Larry said, and Larry's a big Michigan fan, Bill, it's definitely not Nebraska. Nebraska has done nothing, as Larry's pointing out, as a Big Ten member in football. Absolutely nothing. They've really done nothing since Dr. Tom. Bo got him in the Big 12 championship game. That was the 09 season, right? Let me make sure I'm thinking correctly. Yeah, and that's where they put the second back on the clock and let Texas kick the field goal to win it. And then Bo and Carl Pelini decided they wanted to fight everybody after the game, if you'll recall. That was some good theater right there now. I like that. That was fun stuff. Carl Pelini was way more out of control than Bo after that game. Remember they were screaming for Dan Beebe? They're on the field. Where's Beebe? Where's Dan? Find me Dan Beebe now. Remember that? Went absolutely nuts after that game. That's why I like my boy Bo. Will over in Arkansas says, and Will's a big OU fan. He says, Bill, I think OU and Texas believe that enough of their Big 12 brethren will land elsewhere very quickly or add other teams quickly. Either way, everybody is better off just moving on. Yeah, this let me just give you the catalyst for the response there from Will. My question earlier was, we know that OU and Texas are leaving. They informed the Big 12 yesterday, formally, we're out of here. We're not going to go past our current grant of rights agreement, which is through 2025. My response is, cool, but there's no way that behind the scenes they think they're going to be sticking around in this awkward type relationship in a lame duck situation in the Big 12 for another 4 or 5 years. There's no way they think they're going to be doing that. Matt Hayes said yesterday the expectation is privately from those two, OU and Texas, that they'll be in the SEC playing by 2022. My question is, what do they think is going to happen? What gets settled to expedite their entry into the SEC? Right now, OU and Texas are also saying publicly, we plan to honor the current contract as it's written, and it's written through 2025. That's what they're saying. That's not a private thing. They're saying, there's the contract. We see it, you see it. It is what it is. I hate that phrase. That's on the verboten list, too. What do they think is going to happen? Will just said, Bill, it could implode, or maybe they go find other teams to fill in. Now, they won't fill in like Texas and Oklahoma, but they'll fill the spot. We were talking about this last week. I assume that the suits at OU in Texas, the execs, the CEOs at OU in Texas, think that that league's going to implode. It'll somehow dissipate. It will somehow succumb to a nuclear device. Something will happen. And they will be in the SEC much sooner than later. That's what the assumption is from those two. I'm just asking specifically what will go down to expedite this. Jeff down in Fultondale. Bill, there's another series on Netflix about high school ball called All American. See, I don't know any of those. I think I've heard you folks talk about them. And you know what? I may like them. I just don't know when I would sit down and consume that stuff. I just don't. I don't even have. Matter of fact, I think we used to have a I don't even think I have a Netflix account. If I do, I don't know about it. That also stems from Brandon earlier asking about Titletown High. Now, that's going to start late August. It was filmed from the 2020 high school season down in Valdosta that involved Rush Probst. Obviously, he's gone now.
But I watch, I find that topic, that particular topic. Now, I find that topic very interesting. I might just check that out. The Greek Cypriot. Bill, no way the SEC puts A&M and Texas in different divisions. That is a rivalry that the SEC could market every year, just like the Big Ten does Ohio State, Michigan. A&M Texas rivalry, Bill, may even surpass that, being that Ohio State is dominating Michigan. Yeah, and that little quadrant, and again, we don't know what this is going to look like yet. They don't know. They haven't told us. But you've got A&M, you have Texas, you have OU, you have Arkansas. So you've got a lot of the old sex appeal of the Big Eight, Southwest Conference, right there. That little, again, shouldn't say little, but that section, if you will, that could be really sexy, I think is the point here. That could be. Yeah. I could this be something that actually does somehow rebirth Arkansas football? Now, I know it's year two under Sam Pittman. Year one under Sam was really good compared to what most thought. I don't know if year two is going to be that much of an improvement, but could this be something that revitalizes overall the brand, which is Arkansas football? Don't know. Arkansas football as a brand was once mighty, national, and big and bad. It's been decades, plural, since that's been the case for them. Could be interesting. On Twitter, at Bill is King, if you would like to get in this morning. 876 Shaba on Twitter. Bill, think about a pot or a division with A&M, Texas, OU, and Arkansas. Literally the best of the Southwest Conference. I bet that would be their most profitable division. I think so, too. I mean, I don't know if it's would be the most profitable. It'd be very sexy, though. I will absolutely grant you that. That would be incredibly attractive. So much here on Twitter that I am perusing, just trying to find. Here's somebody, Bleak Corleone, has the divisions already mapped out. West, he's got A&M in Texas, OU, Missouri, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and who's the other? LSU, sorry. Yeah, LSU's the other one. And then everybody else in the East, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. That's just a straight line right down the middle. Might be what they do. You might be what they do. West Coast Sooner, Bill, if all this does go down, how out of sight does that make other conferences? Big 12 will disband and those schools will make other conferences better. We'll take the break. Top of the hour, nothing, and then about 20 minutes in, Griff will be with us from the AJC's Dog Nation. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning, THP's wrapping up this crash out here in Rutherford County. It's 840 westbound, just past Highway 41, Nashville Highway. Still pretty foggy out here in this part of Rutherford County. Traffic's on the increase out here in the normal spots this time of the morning. 65 south at Trinity Lane. Still looks good. I-40 coming through Kingston Springs. All the traffic coming in from Dixon County and Hickman County. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny, highs today around 95. For tonight, mostly clear, 74. Sunshine for Wednesday, highs 96. Wednesday night, mostly clear, 74. Sunny and hot for Thursday, highs 97. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky. Sports Radio
knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Jason is in Hawkeye, Jason. Bill, Nebraska actually has done something in the Big Ten. They got drubbed by Wisconsin 70-31 in the Big Ten championship game. That's doing something. Okay, I stand corrected. Josh in London, Ohio. Bill, is West Virginia about to become the big dog in the Big 12? Well, I don't think that's what West Virginia's thinking right now. I think West Virginia's thinking, I hope we've got a league to be a member of in a couple of years. Got to remember, just reiterating the it's always about the money, West Virginia's got no ties to the Big 12 at all, geographically or historically or anything. That was done solely just during the panic of expansion. And it was done because the bank account looks a lot better when you're splitting up the money in the Big 12 than some other fledgling Big East type relationship you might have had. Yeah, $37 million a year or 35 or whatever the number is for them is immeasurably bigger than what they had in their previous relationships. This was solely about the money. The Big 12's home office could have been on Pluto, and West Virginia would have signed up. Dean down there in Alabama, Dean's our brilliant stock market man. He is. He knows all that stuff. He is deep, much deeper than I could ever be. Says, Bill, nobody likes long breakups, talking about OU, Texas, and the Big 12. They will negotiate a divorce settlement so both can move forward. One caveat, only if the Big 12 has a viable path forward. I find it very interesting, and I've repeated this many times, and I'll probably keep repeating it. What privately do the CEOs, the suits, in Norman and Austin think's going to happen? They have their contract. They said, we plan on honoring the contract. But that contract goes through 25. There's no way they're together through 25 with the Big 12. What do they think will happen if they just sit back? Can OU and Texas literally just sit back, play your sports, play your football, and sit in a lounge chair and watch the Big 12 just crumble eventually? Is that the plan? Is there something more aggressive? Karen points out something important. Bill, Nebraska is the reason the Big Ten played last year. That's doing something. That is a very good point. Without Nebraska and the threat of the lawsuits, I'm not sure we see the Big Ten. I'm thinking we don't. And, of course, the Pac-12 is nothing but a bunch of jellyfish-spined people who are only going to copy what the Big Ten did. That's all. The Pac-12 is so wussified that all they were doing is waiting for Big Brother to tell them, okay, we're shutting down. We are too then. We're coming back. Okay, we're back too. That's all the you want to know about leadership. That's the Pac-12's leadership. Oh, just got news the Big Ten shut her down. We're shut down too, about an hour later. They changed their mind. They're going to play now. Okay, we're back. We're back. Yeah, we're back. That's leadership. That's getting out in front of it right there. That's the Pac-12. I don't want to hear anybody ever again, at least on this show, can't control everything, right, suggest college football needs a czar. Because if we had a college football czar, we ain't playing football last year. You do not want somebody telling the SEC what they need to be doing. Because that would not be the intended outlook that you would want. If you truly believe we should be playing, and I remember I said all last year, this whole conversation about not playing is preposterous. It's a terrible idea. You should be playing. Yeah, if you had some kind of czar in an ivory tower somewhere, that would have been shut down central, is what that would have been. No way. If I am the SEC office, under no circumstance do I follow anybody else's lead about a damn thing. We run the show. You don't run the show. We're playing. You don't want to play? Go hide in your closet in the fetal position. Yeah, good point, though, by Karen. Without Nebraska saying we're going to peek under the hood and we're assuming it ain't pretty, that's when all the suits started scurrying like rats in the Big Ten. Yeah, very good point. We will take a break here. Griff, a little bit later, hour number 3 on this Tuesday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still a little bit slow on 840 westbound, trying to get past Highway 41 out in Rutherford County as they continue to work that accident. It's not causing a major, major backup, but it's there nonetheless on 840 westbound. Again, just past Highway 41. Traffic's on the increase even more now on 65 here, coming down through Madison, watching I-40 build up through Kingston Springs. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar is home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check out all their flavors at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Great values are happening now during Lowe's Summer Savings. Save on select appliance special values. Plus, save an additional $50 when you buy two or more appliances, each priced $396 or more. You'll also find new lower prices on ceiling fans, landscape lighting, and more. So shop Lowe's today. Must ask cashier to apply discount in store. Online must use promo code. Can't be combined with any other discounts. See Lowe's.com for exclusions and terms. Valid 7/15 through 8/4. U.S. only.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
It's a Bill King show.
Getting to the sodium pentothal time, which would be the games, because there's nothing that replaces the games. You can practice all you want. The truth serum is the game. Practice is very important to sharpen your craft, but it's not where you get graded. You get your report card from the stats in the ball game.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Grip about 20 minutes into hour three. It'll be fun. You got to remember, we didn't have Griff on Tuesday of last week. We had him on Wednesday, but it was obviously during the show. And the OU Texas story had not hit. That story hit, what about mid-afternoon? If you're on Central or Eastern time, 2 or 3 o'clock, somewhere in there. And that knocked the college football planet off its axis a little bit, spinning a little funky until it could get redirected. I was not expecting, and I told you, almost every one of those football media days events, whatever league, are anticlimactic. They're not real newsy. Unless you just want to regurgitate somebody's depth chart or you want to hear the coach talk about how good the non-playing portion of the season was and the leadership and all that. Unless you just want that repeated on a loop every year, that's about all you get. If that interests you, that doesn't interest me anymore. It was a time that I could sit down and sit through a media day event, and all they do is just bark out players and a depth chart. That doesn't quite get me going like it once did. Now, I love personnel and who's going to be on the field, but I don't like the repetitive nature of it in a media event. I just don't. It bores me. It bores me to no end. This year, we didn't need any of that. I'm wondering, now, I've had a lot of people tell me that the Tuesday before Alabama at the SEC Football Media Days, when Nick is in Texas, okay, Nick's in Texas speaking to the High School Association and drops the caveat, didn't have to, about his yet-to-have-started-a-game Bryce Young, who I think is going to be a really good player, and he's already got about $1 million in name, image, likeness agreements. Now, I've had several people say, well, Bill, he's in Texas, Alabama covets Texas. It's a recruiting moment. That's what Nick was doing, and you know what? I think you're right. I don't think that's incorrect. But was Nick also in on there's going to be very shortly somebody in the media is about to get the story out about OU in Texas? Was Nick at all signaling something there as well? I'm just asking. I'm just wondering. I'm trying to peel back the onion. Or if you've ever watched The Wizard of Oz when you were a kid, and at the end, they pull the curtain and there's the wizard. I'm trying to see what's behind the curtain here. That's what I'm looking into. Trying to figure out what's going on. What were the little... I do think that Sankey on Monday, when he kept repeating, times are changing. That's not something that's new. He said that years ago, right? Same drumbeat. But this year, I think it had meaning. And he was saying there's a really big story. I didn't really take it that way, though. Shame on me, I didn't. I didn't take it that way. When I was watching his address on Monday at the SEC meetings, I just thought he was just repeating name, image, likeness, expansion of the playoffs, the freebie transfer, all those changes, things are changing. That's what I thought he meant. Oh, no, I think there was more to that. He was basically saying there's a doozy out there and probably going to hit somewhere during SEC media days. I am shocked that story stayed that quiet. Let me tell you something. All these media folks out there saying they knew this was coming and they had a good... They are lying to you. They have no shame. That story was not out there privately at all. And I'm not going to join the group of liars. I did not think we were in a fertile expansion market where we're sitting today. I did not think so. Remember the Greek Cypriot about 2 weeks ago ironically brought this up. I mean, he was right there on it. And I said, I don't think that's the mode we're in right now. I did not see this coming. Would be lying. Yeah, privately. Hey, folks, privately. Me being Bill. I was talking to people about this, but I didn't really want to bring it out. See, that'd be a lie. That would be a lie. I was not talking to anybody privately about what if OU in Texas said, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. My foundation was rocked when that news came out. Yep, you remember one of my first tweets, I was skeptical. I didn't say it's absolutely not going to happen, but it just went against the grain of so many absolutes that I'm used to. Absolutes that have been absolutes for many, many decades, but aren't anymore. I didn't realize the change there behind the scenes. Oh, I talked to a lot of people, yeah, but not that never came up. I'm shocked that story stayed that quiet that long. That's another angle on this one. I am shocked. We got all the way to Wednesday, and this thing's supposed to have been privately discussed for 6 months. We got all the way to day three of the SEC football media days, and months prior. Top of the hour break. Griffin about 20. Omni.